So I'm going to be reading today from two books, the Holy Bible and the Book of Green. So we're going to have some fun today, but I'm also going to make a serious point. So we're going to start out with the Book of Green, chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Green acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me the countryside. See, I grew up on a farm myself, though I never had any desire to be a farmer. It just wasn't what I was meant to be. But I do miss all the green. Man, when you're on a farm at this spring, it's just green. Green grass, green trees, green cornfields, green soybean fields, green alfalfa fields. Just everything is green. Everything was green in our farm except our tractors, because we were an international family, so we were a red family. We red tractors on a green farm. It's kind of nice to see a little bit more green around here a little bit lately. If you're in the Midwest still, where my family is from, it's not green yet. Mostly white and brown, I guess you could say, from all the flooding. So this is St. Patrick's Day. I want to do something a little bit different, a little bit fun, but also serious. But to a farmer and to a pastor, green is about growth. I'm going to talk about growth today. So one of the biggest questions church people should ask of their church, or one of the questions we ask should ask is that, what can we expect from you and what can you expect from the church? And the answers to both these questions is in one word, growth. That's what we expect. The church is responsible to provide ways for people to grow, mature in their faith. And the church, you know, expects their people to grow. That's what we expect from you. But what do we need to understand about growth then, if it's so essential to the church? The Bible is full of stories, parables, lessons about growth. We're going to discuss two of them. Two of the most popular Bible lessons about growth. Both of them come from Matthew 13. And the first one we'll be reading is Matthew 13, 31 and 32. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Now, this is great comfort to me. It's a comfort because it doesn't matter how small your faith is to begin with. It doesn't really even matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter how many talents you have today. All that matters to God is that you are growing. All that matters to God is that you are going the right direction. God can take the smallest faith, the smallest talent, the tiniest of circumstances, and grow his kingdom in the biggest of ways. Great comfort to us who think, oh God, I have so little to offer. Doesn't matter. The Book of Green, chapter 7, verse 4 says, weak men can turn into great hulks. That's what it's like when you allow God to work in your life. Turn from a little bitty frail person to a man, a person of great strength. The other passage I want to read comes from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 8. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Very, very common scripture here. Large crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering up the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell along the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. So the question is it easy to grow? Not at all. The Book of Green says in chapter 8, 37, it isn't easy being green. There are just too many things that can stop or stall our growth. Because we have to live in the right combination of soil and sun and rain and water. All these things have to work together in the right way for us to grow. Otherwise, you end up saying things like, I'm melting. Now, some of these are a little bit of a stretch, but I'm working in all the green characters I know. So just bear with me. So many people have decided to find their own path in this day and age. They mix all the colors of the rainbow. And they think, I'll take a little bit of this religion. I'll take a little bit of this philosophy. And they take their blues and their reds and all the different colors. And Jesus is just saying, oh man, if you would just stick with me, I would help you grow green. Our church in the U.S. is suffering from this disease. 80% of our U.S. churches are either in decline or have plateaued. Less and less people are filling leadership positions. Evangelism to our neighbors has gotten tougher. More and more people are not willing to give the time to reach out. And yet, through all of this struggle, God promises this in this scripture, if we keep on the path of growth, it will produce a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Woohoo! Right? Just do your part. Just grow. Just watch it take off. That's when you want to praise the Lord. Psalms 138:1, we were talking about praise this morning in class. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Or another way of saying it from the Book of Green, cowbunga, dude! I know you're mad at me already. This all leads back to the church and how it should help us grow. Most churches I know center around three elements, and they call those elements worship, growth, and service. And when they talk about growth in this collection of three, they're talking a particular type of growth. They're talking about being in community, being part of the church. So it's having some way that you connect with people that your spiritual tank is filled. That's what they're talking about when they talk about this particular type of growth. So in this parable that we're reading this morning about the seed and the soils, the rain is probably the growth of these three elements. It pours down on us and helps us grow. So if the rain is the growth element, then let's call the sun the worship element. Worship shines a light into us when we lift our praises to Him, and it just feels like you're bathing in the sun. Lift up your hands and you grow. Finally, you need to have the soil. We call this maybe the service element of the equation, because when you serve the way God calls you to, sometimes you sweat, sometimes you get your hands dirty, like you're digging in the soil. Worship, grow, serve. The sun, the rain, the soil. These are things we have to be about consistently, regularly, if we want to grow. How are you doing? How are you doing with those three things in your life? We were talking this morning in Sunday school class about joy and how all this produces joy in our life. This inner joy, not external circumstances, but inner joy. And when you build on that foundation, worship, grow, serve, as you grow, you'll produce joy in your life. So this brings us to a little more detailed element of growth. At Hillside Wesleyan Church last year, we developed what we call a discipleship matrix, and it's all laid out in your bulletin, and the inside, we also have copies in the back. Maybe I should call it a green matrix, because it's all about figuring out how to help you grow. Now, when a church establishes something like this, it's a little bit dangerous. Some churches don't want to mess with it, because there's some dangers with it when you establish a matrix. Because people start to think, well, if I do all these things, then I'll measure up. I'll do these things, and that way God will accept me. Or I'll do these things, and then the church will, accept me. And that's just incorrect way of thinking. We don't do anything to measure up. It's only by God's grace that we are accepted. This is a tool you can use to measure and to look at yourself, to see where you're at. Not for anyone to judge you I don't want to be some ogre in your life. Okay, this one's really a stretch. I don't want to be an ogre like this guy. He says, ogres are like onions. They're ugly and they make you cry. We don't want to be that type of church. We don't want to throw guilt on you to make you like, okay, grow, or we're going to make you feel bad. We're going to make you feel guilty. This is not a perfect tool, but we think it stems from biblical principles. So look at that matrix. Look at it. It reads from left to right. So you start to say, okay, as a person, I start out in the community, and then I move to the core, and then I go to the committed. And it's my job, since I'm supposed to help you, and the church's job and leadership of the church is to help you grow, to give you ways to do that. In January, we invited people to journal as a way to pray. In February, we invited people to hook up with accountability partners to ask some questions of each other. And today, I got a new one for you. Might not be the one you need to do, but it might just well be the one you need to do. We have a new book we're going to be reading through the Easter series. It's called The Union with Christ. It's actually on the back of our discipleship table, which is behind the family life table, and there's some copies there. And I'm going to preach on one section each week, but so I will start with the first section of the book next week. If you'd like to participate and read along, you're welcome to do that. Let me give you permission, though, to cheat. The book really gets another ramped up level about section 3. So if you find that you don't want to read every part of it, start with section 3, which is what I'm going to preach on Easter Sunday. Another tool, another opportunity to grow. You don't have to pick every element out there. But boy, if you do, if you're growing, if you're moving the right direction, that's all that God cares about, is you're going the right direction. And you're using the tools that the church gives you or that the Word of God gives you to grow. Now, this is what I did with my little matrix the other day. I color-coded it, and this is just my own personal, for my own self, not for anybody else. And so when you turn it on its side, you've got a little graph, right? And you can look, you say, okay, well, okay, that one's okay, or that one needs a little work, or that one maybe I should think about. But not that they all should look alike. Not all our charts should look alike. God has given you certain passions, given you certain gifts that you concentrate on. We shouldn't all be exactly alike, but it's a tool. It's a tool to say, you know what, am I growing? Am I giving enough attention to this area of my life? God has given us grace. And that grace is acceptance as we are. And that acceptance as we are is supposed to motivate us. It's supposed to create an energy in us to want to grow. It's like, you know what? This is so great of news that I want to be able to live this out in every part of my life. So I will decide to grow. I will decide to lean on God to have Him help me every step of the way so that I will grow. It's up to you. Choose your tools wisely. But pick one and be growing today. And of course, I have to leave with one more quote. Do or do not. There is no try. I hope you have a great St. Patrick's Day. Stay around for the refreshments. Ask the worship team to come forward. They're going to close up with one song. And continue this day in your growth with Jesus. Because when you do, there will be a joy that grows with it every step of the journey. And you will never, ever regret growing in your faith in Christ.